The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Seems like I'm flying solo here. We are in hour two of We the People Radio. You are joining your hosts, Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, who is rushing back to her seat to slap on her headphones, and Bob Martin. Bob Martin's going to...
I was all set to fill in for Aaron.
I appreciate that. That would be so awesome.
If you were me, what would you say?
I would say, Elizabeth, why don't you tell us about the 9/11 rally on Tuesday?
You're not
such a good me. You're a great me.
I'm not the expert on that, but I will tell you that there have been a rash of fires that have basically completely surrounded Northern California, and a lot of families have been displaced. A lot of families are in need, and the Salvation Army has actually been cleaned out of all of their supplies and food and clothing and their coffers. And not financial, but they need to be restocked. They need to be replenished. And there is a list of things that they need.
No, I have it.
Well, then why don't you take it, Aaron?
I actually have the list.
Okay.
I had it here queued up, but I would have forgotten to read it, so it's a good thing we're doing a group think here. Okay, on September 11th, we're doing a voter registration and replenish the cabinet rally for Salvation Army. It is going to be at the corner of Hilltop and Mistletoe from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And local candidates and people running for office will be there, so you can meet the candidates. You can also register to vote. It'll be a really quick way to do some voter registration there. Items they're looking for, if you would like to bring them. Of course, money is always good, because then the Salvation Army can use that for what they need. But along with that, they need tuna, canned fruit, applesauce, peanut butter, canned meats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that is exactly. Is that Vienna sausages?
It could be anything. About? It could be canned. It could be, like you said, tuna, chicken, roast beef, spam.
Spam.
You know?
I forgot about spam.
Any of that stuff.
Pasta, spaghetti sauces, preferably with meat, and any other non-perishable food.
Mm-hmm.
So clothes.
No clothes. Okay.
We're sending you home with your clothes. Don't bring clothes.
They just need
food.
Wear clothes, just don't bring clothes.
Yeah, because I think...
we should be clear about that.
And I think they're feeding 70 families a day right now.
Are they really?
That's what I heard. So they're in desperate need of some food.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah, so folks, come on out to the event on Tuesday, and I'm sure everybody's got a few things sitting around their pantries, and
exactly.
Let's all jump in and help out, because this has been a huge fire season, and a lot of people have been hurt by it, so...
Corner of Hilltop and Mistletoe, 11 to 6 on Tuesday. Okay.
Right.
How are we doing, Bob?
So if you have not heard us before, you're just joining in. We the People Radio. You're joining Elizabeth Woodward, Aaron Ryan, and Bob Martin. And we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
And there is some goofing off.
And there's occasional goofing off. In our first hour, Aaron and I were
not goofing
off. In a fog, and I think we're warming up here.
J.R. Martin's in Wisconsin. So he had like a 3-hour jump on us?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he was all awake and everything.
What a great connection. It sounded like he was right next door. It's amazing sometimes.
Yeah, that's
how clear.
Well, somebody asked me, what do you think about, what do you think about this radio thing? I said, I have learned more mm-hmm. doing radio than I ever did doing anything else. Because instead of, this is really bad as a former English teacher, but instead of reading the books, now we have the authors on. Give us the synopsis.
And
there.
I was saying off air that I have such a stack of books now by authors, people that are just mainstream, grassroots. They've actually, done the homework, done the research, spent a lot of time putting it together. There's a lot of great books out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes the mainstream, the well-known authors that we know, they're fine, but there's so many people out there that have firsthand knowledge. Real practical knowledge, and they're all putting it together. I've got a bunch of books.
I bet when we look back, and authors love mm-hmm. to talk about their work because it took them forever to write it.
Yeah.
They had to do tons of research.
And they put their heart into it.
Yeah, and they're really excited about it. And a lot of these folks are first-time authors.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you money, when we get you know, down the road, yeah, another 10, 20 years, and mm-hmm, we look back, mm-hmm, this is going to be the time when we had the most first-time authors, yeah, of any other time in history.
And the thing is, none of them are getting rich from writing these,
no,
books. I mean, if they're breaking even, I'd be surprised. They all have a passion for getting this country back on track.
A lot of them are self-published. Gee, on the chat room here, they're still going on about the spam.
I noticed that.
The spam.
You guys, why don't you go have some breakfast and get back to us?
The spam.
I think they're hungry.
I think everybody's hungry. They're all, I said, I didn't say spam. You,
yeah,
said spam.
Bob,
I
did.
Said canned meats, and then people,
Bob,
went berserk. Bob, what's happening over there on your side of
you
the
know,
room?
You know, spam, yeah, comes in a lot of different flavors now.
Hang
that
on.
Creeps me out.
You
that
can get all
him.
Kinds. Barbecued spam and garlic spam and vegetable spam. Spam comes in all kinds of flavors.
Isn't there a rhyme? I'm thinking beans, musical fruit. No. Isn't there a spam
no,
rhyme?
No, don't go there. Yeah. We're not touching that one.
Just stalling for time while we're getting... We just say James O'Keefe, and then the whole system breaks down.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Well, no, I had called him, and his voicemail, his mailbox was full. And
No.
But,
no, that's what happened last time.
That's what happens when you're popular.
We're going to have to call Rush Limbaugh again and get him to fill
no,
in?
No. He just didn't get to the phone in time. He's actually here.
Yay!
Good morning, James.
We're not going to have to tell lies for the next hour.
Well, good morning. Are you on there?
Yes.
James.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, we are looking forward to hearing anything you want to tell us about your exploits in the video industry. Like, what gave you the idea to get started? That's a good place to start.
Where did I get the idea to get started? I was in college at Rutgers University in New Jersey, and I was surrounded by professors, administrators, faculty members who are extremely hostile to the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first thing I did is the doors on college campuses were decorated with all types of political propaganda. So I started a newspaper. I was fired from my campus daily. So I started my own newspaper. And the first issue had a decoration for the most decorated political door. And I confronted one of the professors and gave him a certificate for you know, his and he like cursed me off and everything. I put the video, this is before YouTube, I put it on our website. And I started making videos on campus. The next video we did was we tried to ban Lucky Charms on the grounds it's racist against Irish Americans. and we did this because we were responding to campus censorship, so we decided to censor Lucky Charms. After all, I'm an Irish American. Do I look like a leprechaun? And we found out that the Lucky Charms box violated all types of campus, you know, free speech prohibitions. Like, you're not allowed to say or say something that's insensitive. And I thought, you know, calling me as an Irish American lucky was insensitive. I don't actually think that, but I was saying it. So I started being a muckraker by, you know, speaking truth locally to the power establishment on campus. And the vice president of student affairs pulled me aside and said, James, if you want to be, you know, involved in whole, you know, politics and all these things, you got to be respectful. You got to be respectful of the administration. And that's, in a nutshell, how, you know, analogous to how my local campus administration and the relationship I have with them. Now the National Press Corps is in cahoots with government and with the administration. And I'm still not being very respectful a couple years later.
Yeah, we liked that part. That was the part that that attracted us.
I think
us.
That's what we liked the most.
Yeah, we thought that was fun. So when you did the video, the very first one, when you guys were busting all the Acorn guys, did you tell people you were going to go do it, or did just a few of you sneak out and go pull that off?
You mean tell people, you mean tell political people, insiders?
No, well, I mean, even friends and stuff, it's like, hey, we've got this idea that this is what we're going to go do, or did you just get the idea and go do it?
We just got the idea and went out and did it, but... I mean, if I tell someone now that I'm going to do a video investigation, I'm credible. They think that it's going to be an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, people thought I was crazy. I mean, can you imagine if be honest with yourself? If someone came up to you, you know, 4 years ago or 3 years ago before that happened, and said, I'm going to be a pimp and go into the government-funded office,
yeah.
You'd probably look at them like they're crazy. You certainly wouldn't believe that they would fall for it, or that it was going to be impactful, or that it was going to be some type of effective piece. So I did tell people, I told a couple different friends, and they sort of thought I was crazy, because they can't really see, you know, the forest through the trees. They just see that you're going as a pimp and something about underage girls, and it just sounds kind of weird.
So, James, how did you find out about Acorn in the first place?
How did I do what?
How did you find out about Acorn in the first place?
I didn't know too much about them. I had done an investigation into Planned Parenthood about a year before that, and Hannah Giles, who I just met on Facebook, she sent me a Facebook message and said, I loved your Planned Parenthood thing. What would you think about doing a thing on Acorn? And I didn't really know. I knew Acorn was tied to the president. And I went on YouTube and searched for Acorn. I found videos of Acorn employees breaking and entering into people's homes, like foreclosed homes. And I thought, that's criminal. They're breaking into people's homes. And I thought, why isn't the media reporting on this? There was one local affiliate, Baltimore, who did a story. And I sort of thought about it for a second. Well, Hannah came up with the idea to pose as a prostitute. And I said, well, why don't we start a brothel and say we have girls working for us?
So you just pretty much let your imagination go wild.
Well, yeah, it wasn't just, you know, it was imagination, but it was basically, you know, I read Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky, and one of the major things Saul Alinsky talks about is making your adversary live up to their own book of rules. So here was Acorn apparently breaking laws, and nobody cares. So why don't you simply approach them with some crazy illegal criminal conspiracy? And of course they told me how to cheat on my taxes.
Wow, God! Yeah, that was stunning, and your story was so implausible, and your outfits were so over the top. I'm like,
and they still
how did
bought
they
it?
Not get busted? I mean, it was just crazy fun. We've got to take a 2-minute break. Thank our advertisers. We will be right back with Mr. James O'Keefe. Bob, what do you have for us there?
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make a big star out of me. We'll make a film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
Join the conversation in our chat room. KCNR1460.com.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go.
That's the part we dream about.
What shall we do about them?
We're back. We the People Radio. We are talking with James O'Keefe of Acorn fame, a citizen journalist, undercover expert. So, James, we were talking about Acorn. What kind of backlash did you have after that?
Well, I mean, it was a well-documented backlash. I mean,
we just want to hear it from you.
We released the videos one at a time, you know, this is something that we've done. Since then, we release evidence a little bit at a time in order to get the media to trip over their own lies and say that we failed in other efforts. And the journalists put their credibility on the line and said it was an isolated incident, even though it was not an isolated incident. The New York Times ombudsman admitted a couple weeks after the investigation that we did, the New York Times admitted that they actually selectively quoted Bertha Lewis, CEO of Acorn, saying that we got thrown out of some of the offices. They took that out of their article to make her look better. And it was a fascinating insight into how the media works. media is no longer merely biased, they're no longer merely not doing journalism. The media is actively engaged in news suppression. And that story sort of percolated through through the grassroots until Congress and Senate voted to strip Acorn of all the federal funding. They were allocated potentially $5 billion. That went to negative... negative, so they weren't given any additional money. Of course, some people say they offshoot other organizations, but it was quite a reaction, and that's why the media hates me so much, because every time we video we've done since, you not only do you expose the subject of your expose, but you also expose the journalists, because you scoop them. You break a story that they don't, and it makes them look bad.
Well, you know what amazes me is you've gone on to do investigations on NPR, National Public Radio, and Medicaid. And the funny thing is, these folks ought to know you're coming by now, and you still get them every time.
Well,
nobody's smartening up.
I don't think I'll ever be out of work. there's so much corruption and stupidity, sometimes incompetence. It's not necessarily the employee's fault. That's like for the Medicaid stuff. It wasn't like they're just doing their jobs. I mean,
sure.
they're not doing anything outside of what is absolutely normal. The problem is the institution, and my opponents, they don't see it that way. They think you just fire all the bad apples. Well, you can fire everyone. You can fire the whole world, but at some point in time, you're going to have to reform the institution.
Mm-hmm.
And that divorce law stuff we've done most recently is actually, I think, Andrew Breitbart told me he thought that was the best one we've ever done.
Now, which one was that?
The dead people voting in New Hampshire and getting Eric Holder's ballot. He actually said, he told me that was a symphony to his eye, seeing all the ballots being given out to dead people. Why is that so effective? Well, it's effective because you can't really fire, the poll worker. They're obviously just doing their job. And the investigation is so manifestly damning because it cuts right to the policy. It literally goes right to the fact that there are no stopgaps and that anybody can obtain anyone's ballot for any reason. So that's, in my opinion, been our most effective work. It actually changed the law in New Hampshire and Minnesota.
Nice.
It's launched election investigations in North Carolina, Washington, D.C., some other jurisdictions like Pennsylvania. Some state senators have cited our work. Poll workers are being retrained. But that's been the most difficult hurdle, is having my adversaries, simply say, oh, well, we're just going to fire the individual and not reform the system.
And that's an emotional reaction. So we've got a caller on the line, has a question for you. Don, good morning.
We're just going to fire the individual.
Hello?
Oh, yikes.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Don. You got a question for James?
Yes, good morning. With all of the stuff on Acorn that keeps coming out and coming out, how come someone hasn't taken legal action?
Okay.
Your question, I couldn't hear part of your question. Your question is...
He said with all of the stuff that's come out against Acorn, why hasn't someone taken legal action?
Well, when you say legal action, what do you mean? Specify.
Censured them or litigated against them. Obviously, they seem to be breaking the law with all the stories we keep hearing.
Well, they did take legal action. Congress stripped them of their funding. President Obama signed the bill to defund. I mean, think about that for a second. President Obama signed the bill to defund Acorn a week after our videos. That is a congressional... There is no greater legislation than a congressional defunding of the organization. Acorn subsequently sued Congress as I believe a bill of attainder or something like that, and said it was unconstitutional. That went up to the federal courts, and there's been all types of legal action on Acorn. I've been sued by Acorn. half a dozen times for supposedly invading their privacy rights. I would argue there is no expectation of privacy in a public building funded by your taxpayer dollars, and that is currently, I'm currently in the courts right now. I've had to go through depositions. The lawyer for the Acorn employee simply does not believe that I spent my own money to do this, and in fact, I did. And I said under oath that I did, because I did. That's the truth.
Who do they think you spent money with? Or where did they think the money? Where do they think the money came from?
They think it came from some billionaire. They can't, in their minds, it's outside the realm of possibility. They simply did not believe that I paid for it with my own money. And in fact, in that particular case, we did.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about Project...
Could I just jump in a moment? Hasn't Acorn resurfaced under a different name? I thought I had heard that somewhere recently. James?
I mean, yes. Yes, the community organizers will always be organizing. Mm-hmm. You can't destroy them forever. My goal is not to destroy Acorn, and I don't think that's what people's goal should be either. I mean, if Acorn wants to exist... And help register people to vote and, you know, fight for fair housing rights and all the rest, that's fine. As long as they don't commit fraud and do things unethically and immorally, and I'll be happy to do more video investigations of the new Acorn. But I've also heard reports, to be honest with you, that they don't exist in places like Nevada. They're gone. And certainly our investigation gave them quite a black eye.
That's fabulous. So what about the, I'm curious about the union one, and if there was backlash from that, because those guys don't usually take a beating and, let that go. The union guys that were sitting at the desk.
You're talking about the Earth Supply and Renewal.
That's it. I was going to say the one with the shovels. Where you guys were going to dig a hole and fill it in.
we said we wanted to dig holes and fill them back up again. And we call ourselves Earth Supply and Renewal. And, there's been some reactions from the New York, reactions from the New York assemblymen and from various legislators in New York. The most interesting case was the legislator who was telling us that our fictitious work is akin to what he does every day. And this is sort of like exactly like the things they fund. He's been up for re-election in New York State, so the reaction was pretty muted. They were just saying, "Oh, they were just playing along." This is one of the things they say. You're just playing along. Well, yeah, right. I mean, if you're just playing along, then why would you get into the details and how to do it, how to get funded? Who in the legislature to talk to about getting funding for our ridiculous jobs programs.
So, James, what has this done for journalism in general? Has it put a spotlight on the fact that your mainstream journalists are not that?
Are not what?
Are not true journalists?
I mean, I think it is a very fascinating how they react to me. I mean, I've been libeled and slandered and the worst possible things you can say about somebody. I mean, you're a white supremacist, you're a felon. they seem to be very, very, very against citizen journalism. They don't like it. Maybe they view it as a threat to their existence. Maybe they are jealous about getting scooped. It could be a number of things. I think, to be honest with you, the reason why they can't do what we do is my theory is that they have a relationship with the government. Journalists do.
Right.
They rely upon government sources. They, you know, frankly, some people at ABC News are married to people in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your husband was married, I'm sorry, if you were a journalist and your husband was running an organization, would you investigate his organization? Of course you would not. You wouldn't investigate your paycheck, would you? And a lot of reporters simply can't do real, you know, shoe-leather journalism because they can't burn their sources. And in my situation, I burn everyone. I go out there and basically, you know, burn the house down. We expose everything. We're muckrakers. We raise our fists in the air and we speak truth to power. That's what we do.
And you know, James, that's the beauty of not being bought and paid for.
That is the beauty. It has its advantages, though. I mean, they try to put me in jail. I've been issued criminal grand jury subpoenas. I've been sued half a dozen times. I fight with people who buy ink by the barrel. They just slander me and defame me. They selectively edit me. It's not easy. But the difference is, the reason why we are winning, the reason why I'm here to tell the tale, is because I work in video. And seeing is believing.
Yeah,
and they can slander me all day long. They can write 100,000 articles, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, are you going to believe them or are you going to believe your lying eyes?
Right. Yeah, you're going to go look at it. It's kind of like you didn't build that. Really? I just saw a video and you said that. On that note, we're going to come back in 2 minutes with James O'Keefe. I want you to tell him about Project Veritas because we haven't gotten into that yet. We will be back. 2 minutes. Thank you to the advertisers here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
And that's for you, James. Welcome back to We the People Radio. We are talking to James O'Keefe of Acorn fame and Project Veritas. And you can find out everything you need to know about James O'Keefe and all of the great accolades that he is getting from those who really know what journalism is at wethepeopleradio.us. Go to the webpage. So, James, tell us about Project Veritas and what it's done for citizen journalism.
Project Veritas is a nonprofit organization that we started about 2 years ago after the Acorn success. We want to do more of these investigative videos. We've done videos on the Census Bureau, the New Jersey Teachers Union, National Public Radio, Medicaid fraud. We've done an investigation called To Catch a Journalist, kind of like To Catch a Predator, except investigating journalism schools. And then this year, 2012, we've done investigations into dead people voting in New Hampshire, Vermont, Minnesota, D.C., North Carolina, and then we launched investigations into labor unions and green jobs programs. And Project Veritas is launching an effort right now to identify people who are willing to do undercover work and do citizen journalism. And we are training them, equipping them, giving them cameras. We've got people armed throughout the country right now who, at my direction, are investigating all types of government fraud. And, we're sort of the green berets of citizen journalists out there creatively investigating and exposing all these issues. And we don't Project Veritas does not advance policy. We don't lobby, government to change the law, unlike a lot of these other nonprofits. We don't educate people about policy. We simply expose the facts. And that's what journalism should be all about. It should be exposing facts in incredibly, real ways for people. And just one point about the conventions and all these things that are happening. There was an article in the American Spectator the other day, and they were talking about former President Clinton, and they were talking about Juanita Broderick, the woman who accused President Clinton of rape. And there was an anecdote about NBC News about 15 years ago. Lisa Myers told Juanita Broderick, "It's not that your story is not credible; it's that your story is too credible." And I sort of draw an analogy because of Project Veritas. It's not that our videos are not credible. It's that they're so real. It's absolutely undeniable what you're seeing. And that's our goal, to release investigative material that nobody can deny.
Well, that's the truly fun part of it, like the green jobs thing, because everybody knows. You know, it's funny. I was listening. I listened to Sirius XM Left just to torture myself, and I was listening to him one night, and the guy on there is just a total flame-throwing liberal, and he goes, "Well, you know, everybody knows that recycling doesn't make a difference. It's not going to save the planet. It's not going to do anything. We just do it to feel good."
Ooh.
And I thought, wait a minute, is that... What?
He's going to get taken to the woodshed.
Exactly. And so, but I'm listening to this guy, and I thought of your video with the green jobs thing, and I thought, there you go.
And it's very similar. You should have got that on tape.
It is on tape. It was Mike Malloy.
Oh, it is on tape.
Mike Malloy on Sirius XM Radio. He's a fairly prominent guy on there, and he was on a tear about how stupid recycling is, and it doesn't do anything.
Wow.
I thought maybe I'd accidentally switch the channel.
Hey, so James, when you are you pulling students from journalism programs that are coming into Project Veritas? I mean, the ones that are coming from Rutgers University and some of these Ivy League schools where journalism is actually a joke. I mean, are you pulling some of those students? Are they looking?
Am I pulling them or am I pulling them?
Are they gravitating toward your style of journalism?
We've got one guy working for us. I mean, who is from a journalism school, but as a general rule, no.
Okay.
We don't recruit from. I'm certainly open to it, but you have to be open minded, and journalists have all these rules, and you know they have a sort of code of ethics, and some people view undercover work as immoral. I certainly have lines I won't draw, but as a general rule, journalism schools are very hostile towards me. They don't like our work. They don't like investigating. What's the real reason they don't like? Well, it's not because they think undercover work is immoral. They 60 Minutes won, you know, Peabody Award. Diane Sawyer won all types of awards for her work at Primetime Live. The reason they don't like us is because we investigate organizations that they do like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't want people going after unions and Acorn and education and all these things. These are sacred cows. So, I mean, we just did recruit one person that graduated from the Columbia School of Journalism who does, like, man-on-the-street interviews. But usually we find people who are not from that world.
So standard journalism is seems to be in the tank. Nobody believes journalists anymore. Nobody even wants to bother watching or listening. Would you say that your style of undercover work has taken a bite out of it?
I would hope so. Maybe not as much as I would like. Hopefully in the coming months and years ahead, we're going to be taking a bigger bite out of it. And the best example historically, if you want to look at someone who blazed a trail, is Pat Drudge.
Yeah.
Look what he's done to journalism.
Mm-hmm.
There's one guy. You know, but frankly, he's not even in Washington, D.C.
All right. And of
he's
course,
been an inspiration.
And our personal hero, Andrew Breitbart.
Andrew Breitbart, who works with Drudge. The great stories which the media refused to break. And as a result of that, what ends up happening is the media follows them. The media, I notice a pattern. It's a very interesting dynamic. And I don't understand it, but I just noticed it. The media doesn't do any journalism. They do journalism. They report on what we do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, like, you get to a point where we do original reporting on Medicaid, Acorn, all these things. And eventually, you see them reporting on what we're reporting on.
So they're letting you do all the hard work.
Exactly. They don't want to break the story. They don't want to break the Monica Lewinsky story. So you know, so Drudge broke it, and then they reported that he was the one that put his credibility on the line. Likewise, you know, Jon Stewart does a piece on The Daily Show, where he eviscerates the mainstream media. James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles spent $1,300 to the Acorn thing. Where the hell were the journalists? Where are you people? And so they end up, you know, the New York Times hired a new person to, you know, to attract these stories. They end up playing, you know, second rail.
So do you think these mainstream journalists really believe in what they do, or did they sell their souls somewhere along the line?
That's a very interesting question. It's a very good question.
How do they live with themselves?
They live with themselves because I haven't answered, I haven't really, you know, figured that out yet, but I think it's because, they are drunk with power. They, I mean, you know how much money these people at ABC News make? And they get to hobnob with celebrities and government officials, and they get fed information from the White House. It's a good gig. Ryan Riley at Talking Points Memo.
There's your next expose.
Yeah, see if you can get into the White House press corps. That'd be awesome.
Don't
wear the pimp outfit. Well, maybe you should wear the pimp outfit. Maybe that'll get you in. And I want to, I've got a couple questions for you too, but we've got to take a really quick break. It's the last one, and then we'll come back and finish off the hour with James O'Keefe. You are listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Time is truly wasted. There's no guarantee.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
What I need is a good defense, 'cause I'm feeling like a criminal, and I need to feel a ding to the one I've sinned against, because he's all I ever knew of love.
Hey, we're back. We've got 10 minutes left. I want to give you a little promo for next week. We're going to have Elizabeth Nixon on. She is author of Eco-Fascists, How Radical Conservationists Are Destroying Our Natural Heritage. And right now we are with James O'Keefe of Acorn fame and president and founder of Project Veritas. And we want to thank you very much ahead of time in case we get you cut off. Thank you for being on the show. We know that it took a couple of tries, but we do appreciate it. We know you're busy, and we want to thank you for everything you've done. So, James, take it away. You had a couple of questions, Aaron.
We just wanted to let you know you had a fan club on the West Coast.
Yeah.
We're not all knuckleheads in California.
Not at all. No matter what you might think.
We're just putting in a bid for the smart people in California. We're not all drinking the Kool-Aid. Hey, so any thought about doing some investigative stuff around the election?
Oh, yes, of course. I just can't get into it yet, but
of course,
trust me when I say we are right now, we dispatched people all over the country to investigate and expose fraud, abuse, waste, deceit surrounding this election, and then you'll see that come out hopefully soon.
Nice.
Are you using my brain again?
I am. We're sharing today.
That is
by
awesome.
By the way, I loved your lead in Fiona Apple, the criminal song.
Yeah, that would be Bob Martin. He is
take it away, Bob.
Pretty phenomenal.
That's a pretty. I like that song. My friend teases me with that song sometimes. You know, when the attorney generals are trying to indict me, he posts that song on my Facebook wall. So.
Glad to hear from a fellow Fiona Apple fan.
that is pretty funny. There's you know, there aren't a lot of people who are willing to hang it out there that far. And I wanted to ask you, when you were in college and you started this whole thing, what did your family say? Were they like, "No, what are you doing?"
They're very proud of me. They're very
awesome.
I'm blessed to have parents who are. I don't know what it is about them, but they're supportive. You know, not judgmental people. They're very supportive of me, it's funny. I don't really like being in the spotlight too much. I don't go on television too much. But initially, I was refusing to do all the interviews, so the journalists would actually come to my house, and someone from CBS News New York came to my parents' house looking for me. And my poor grandfather answered the door. So sometimes it can be funny because the journalists, you know, they to kind of show up at the house. But well, my parents are very supportive. And it's not inside my comfort zone. It hasn't been to do this. I'm passionate about, you know, being creative and exposing things in creative ways, and that's one of my passions. So it's certainly not a comfortable thing to do, to put yourself out there to be viciously attacked.
Yeah.
In the worst way. I mean, they'll just call you ugly. I mean, they set you up. Charge you with crimes that you haven't committed. I'm on probation. I mean, lawsuits. Constantly on the phone with lawyers. I mean, I don't know if you know who Brett Kimberlin is, but a political terrorist, just engaged in all types of political terrorism. They call up the cops and say that you shot your parents.
Are you kidding?
I mean, they do disgusting, despicable political terrorist acts. And it's not what? Like what I do. No, that's what you do, James. No, I don't accuse people of doing things. I actually tape people doing things. These people will actually set you up. And, it's actually very an uncomfortable thing to go through. But now that we have a foundation, Project Veritas is a foundation set up with donors and supporters and an audience. Hopefully, if they can, you know, when they do attack me now, hopefully it just becomes a boon and enhances our support.
Yeah, so this is not for the faint of heart. Now, when you were a kid, you know, and you obviously were going to college and stuff, what did you think you were going to do when you grew up?
I thought I was going to work in finance or something. I was good at math, and I was going to, good with numbers, good with statistics. I was good at... my dad was an engineer, so I thought I was going in that direction, you know, math or science. And I got to college, and I just became so engaged in the classroom with the professors. I got such an adrenaline rush off of speaking truth to these people. There's nothing in the world like it. There's nothing like correcting misinformation. They're yelling at you, and you're showing the truth, and then people are talking about it. There's nothing in life like it. I can't imagine doing anything else.
That's pretty awesome. And, you know, those of us out here that have no access to any of those things or actually already picked a career track and were, you know, deeply in it and don't have the latitude to go do this kind of stuff, we really count on you. And for all the crap you get from all these other places, we really celebrate the courage and, you know, I appreciate the fun.
Yeah.
I mean, the shovel, what was it? Renew and
Earth Supply Renewal. By the way, we've got more installments.
Oh, you do?
We've got more installments. We've got more videos. I haven't released them. I want to release them at the right time, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's kind of like Aaron and I doing this radio show. We never thought that it's something that we would do, and we had no experience. And sometimes we go out on a limb, but, you know, we're delivering hard messages in the funniest way possible. So, you know, we do appreciate the combination.
Yeah, the humor is totally worth it. Well, I was curious, too, about the Acorn thing. When you did that, did you have all those episodes in the can when the first one came out?
Yes, all of the tapes were sitting on a hard drive. I could not yet produce them. I was staying up all night, every night, producing them. I think I was a pretty thin guy, but I lost like 20 pounds that first 2 weeks because I didn't eat or sleep. I just was at my computer nonstop producing, putting music. My friend produced a song called Ridiculous. I put it in the beginning of the... You know, the video. My grandmother gave me her chinchilla coat. I wore it down the street. You know, and the rest is history.
I wanted to know where you got the outfit. That's classic. Your grandmother's chinchilla coat.
Yeah, I knocked on her door. And I said, "Hey, okay, Grandma, do you have a fur coat or something?" And she said, "What do you need this for?" She was playing like dress up or something. I said, "No, it's for a journalism project." I don't think she got it at the time, but then eventually she saw her chinchilla coat all over the place.
She's like, man, that coat never got that much wear.
That's
fabulous.
From the 1970s, it was shedding all over the place, too.
Oh, that's God, hysterical.
That's hilarious.
And they never picked up on your fashion faux pas?
Well, you know, it never occurred to me that you taped all those. You know, when they kept coming out, I kept thinking, are these people complete idiots? How do they not recognize this guy?
So we had them all in the can.
Okay, so for all the people like me who didn't figure out you did them all at one time, you know, now we're like, oh, we get it.
So what is Hannah up to these days?
Hannah is got married to a man named Joe Basil, who I worked with, and they live in Texas, and I believe she is working on some projects. She's got some long-term projects going on. But,
she's got
in love and got married shortly after all that stuff came out.
She decided to decided to give up prostitution then. That's good.
Hey, so I want to read the mission statement of Project Veritas. It is to investigate and expose corruption, dishonesty, self-dealing, waste, fraud, and other misconduct in both public and private institutions in order to achieve a more ethical and transparent society. That's cool.
That's correct.
It's very cool.
That is outstanding. Well, we really, how many of you are there at Project Veritas? Did we get that?
That's classified information.
Nice. However,
I will say that we were located, our headquarters, you know, we were sort of remote. Finally, we got a donor to give us a very generous landlord in the New York City area, gave us a large bunker. I kid you not, we have a bunker.
That is sweet.
And, nice.
We got a producer, executive director. We sort of, I direct things from there, and we've got people all over the country now. We're just starting to really expand. I mean, really expand.
That is so cool.
And,
thank you.
You'll see an army of people.
Oh, nice. Thank you for everything do.
Yeah, thanks a lot. And anybody out there who's looking to donate it to James and the gang there at Project Veritas, because they're coming up with some awesome stuff. All right.
We'll join you next week, folks. Thanks, James.
Thank you, James,
Thank you so much.
Go do great work. We appreciate it.
Next week, it's all about eco-fascism.
Monday night, Jim Reed and Doug LaMalfa debating at the Reading Tea Party meeting, 2570 South Bonneview here in Reading, at Destiny Fellowship Church. And the 9/11 rally, 911.
Yeah.
Help out the fire victims,
and
guys.
And let's just hear it for all things grassroots.
Hilltop and Mistletoe. Okay.
Bob. All right. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, James O'Keefe. Thank you, J.R. Martin. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Fox News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler.
Let me tell you, Florida, what they are selling, we are not buying. We've been there. We've tried it.
President.